Haven't you forgotten something? Aren't you going to take the audience along?
Welcome, everybody, to Radio DMG. Today is February the 26th, 2014. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and you are listening to, well, a pretty short episode of Radio DMG, actually. We're going to have the next couple episodes of Radio DMG are going to be a little bit short because we also have the musical rations, we have the animation as art review things, the Glorious Excess stuff. We have a bunch of other stuff that we're working on to put out, and we're trying to stick with the schedule of every Wednesday there's new content. So this one's going to be a little bit short. I'm just going to put up the interview that we did with Bryce Papenbrook at NondesCon 2013. I'm going to just go ahead and start putting out that content, because it's been way too long and I need to get on a schedule here. So, that's what we're doing in this episode. Also, today, there will be actually not one, but two musical ration episodes. So, think of this as not a double header, but a triple header of audio content for you, our audio content connoisseurs. This pronunciation. Anywho, that's about it. This interview was done in 2013 at NondesCon 2013, and it's been, I guess, gestating for a while, something like that. But it's kind of relevant because the main character in Bravely Default is voiced by Bryce Papenbrook. So there you go. We made it relevant. We sat on it for so long, it hatched into a beautiful egg of relevant content. Woo! You're welcome. And here we go. And welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm over here at NondesCon 2013 on this lovely and dreary Saturday with
Bryce Papenbrook.
So, in case our listeners aren't familiar with who you are and what you do, who are you and what do you do?
Well, I'm a voice actor based out of Los Angeles. I've been voice acting since I was 8 years old. Some of the things you might have heard me in, Sword Art Online, I play Kirito, Blue Exorcist, I play Rinnakumara, I'm in Final Fantasy Dissidia as Zidane Tribal, Tales of Graces as Belmont, and I could just keep going.
A lot of, video game and animation,
yes.
Work, so, some commercial work too, right?
Definitely,
commercial,
yeah.
Live action, that definitely.
Yeah, I actually recorded a Red Bull commercial at one point.
Ah, gives you wings.
As I drink a Red Bull.
Ah. So, how did you get started in voice acting? Just an aside.
Well, my dad was a voice actor, and I used to go and watch him work. One of his roles was Rito Revolta, the skeleton dude on Power Rangers.
That's Lord Zedd.
No, not Lord Zedd.
Not Lord Zedd?
No,
not
Lord Zedd is... Lord Zedd is the guy with the big Z.
Yeah, the Z in the red thing.
And Rita is the female witch, and Rito is her brother that is like
what
a skeleton.
Was that?
It's still pretty early on in the Power Rangers sagas as it goes on forever. So pretty early on. But he's like a skeleton dude, and there's camo on him.
Oh. Oh,
Wait, I think that was right before Turbo, right? Was it before the Turbo movie? Because I dropped off a little after the Turbo movie.
It was a ways back.
Ways back. So yeah, okay. I think I know which one you're talking about now. You used to hang out with Goldar.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll have to pull up a picture, a little clip, so you can see him.
He's got kind of like a built-in helmet to
Exactly.
Him.
Oh, exactly. Okay, yeah. That's the one.
That's always fun. Like they had to adapt those from Saban and quite an interesting show. I remember watching quite a bit of that when I was younger. Quite a bit of that.
Oh yeah.
Then around when Turbo came out and they had that little kid that became a larger Power Ranger when he was the blue when they replaced the Blue Ranger.
Oh man, yeah. I had already fallen off.
Yeah, that was at probably that when point. I fell off because they had that movie, this Power Rangers movie, and I was like, now they're doing like Zordon's dead and all this other stuff. Like the newer stuff is all like it's Gundam pretty much.
Yeah,
And Star Trek. It's kind of a little off, but kind of acting runs in the family.
Yes. So I'm really carrying on the torch, which is amazing. I was watching him work, and they needed a kid, and he's like, "Hey, throw him in. He's a pro." And I jumped in the booth, and that's how I got started.
So your dad said that, like, well, even though you'd never voice act, he's like, "He's a pro."
Yeah. Yeah.
Your entire career is built on lies. The lies of the family. Scandal.
Well, I mean, I learned from watching him and just kind of copying him. I'm not formally trained as an actor. Mm-hmm. I kind of learned on the job.
Excellent.
Yeah, and so, to this point, I've never gone to school to be a voice actor. I've just kind of winged it.
They kind of are. It's like, it just happened one day. I just woke up and I'm a voice actor.
I get to act like an actor.
Well, that's an acting job in itself.
There we go.
So, speaking of acting and jobs and other types of work, outside of voice acting and, the radio work and all that stuff, do you do any type of charity work or anything?
I do work with kids. I teach martial arts. Mm. I teach Muay Thai and boxing. Mm. And I've been doing that for a long time. I'm not really connected to a charity in particular outside of cons. Actually, one thing comes to mind that that was kind of cool. I did a game called Tales of Graces, and I was contacted on Facebook by a group called Tales of Charity. And what these guys do is they play a Tales game, and these games are massive, like 80 to 100 hours of gameplay, and they marathon it. Mm. So they sit there and they just play all the way through and they pick different things to donate the money to, different charities.
Like
so,
child's play and such, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact hospital that this previous one was donated to, but when they contacted me, I was like, this is awesome. And I went on and watched them play for a while and I talked to people and I donated some money. And it was just, it was good feelings all around. Mm. So I hope that I can do more charity things because it's good for everybody.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I want to ask a question about your martial arts background. Why Muay Thai?
Muay Thai. You know, I started in a style called Tongsudo, mm-hmm. and I always liked the sparring. And the gym I went to had a few world champions in Muay Thai, and I just fell in love with the art. I started competing when I was about 10, and I thought I was going to be a professional fighter. I fought all the way into high school. I had maybe about 70 fights, and I was undefeated as a kickboxer. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what I was going to do, what I was destined to do, and obviously, you know, things change. It's fun to make noises in a booth and not get punched.
You didn't want to be the next Tony Jaa?
You know, that's always in the back of your mind. I don't know if I could be that awesome, though.
No. It's like, well, it takes some work. I mean, the guy literally lets people set him on fire.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Would you let us set you on fire for your art?
I don't know. I am pretty method, so if my character was burning, maybe I would need to light myself on fire slightly.
We'll have to let some of the people writing the scripts know. It's like, okay, we'll have to put him on fire in this next script.
Yeah.
I don't think that's in the script. No, I'll put it there. It's
got to keep the job interesting.
Oh, yes, definitely.
What'd you do today? I lit myself on fire inside the booth.
that might hurt the soundproofing just a little.
Just a little. Wow, it's kind of melty in here.
It's like we put the burn in Funimation. Wait. So, what do you think of, speaking of burning, what do you think of the of Nondescon so far, since it's the absolute opposite of burning? Yeah. It's been horribly soggy all weekend.
Yeah, well, there was a fire alarm at one point.
Oh, yeah, there was.
It has been an incredible experience. Everyone here has been so friendly and so nice, and the staff has been incredible, and I'm so happy that they brought me out, and if they were to invite me again, I would come out again in a heartbeat.
So is this your first time in Denver?
My first time in Denver, my first time in Colorado, and I've loved it so far. It's been great. I mean, kind of rainy, which I understand is not the norm.
Oh, no, not at all. It's been weird.
Yeah. It's been pretty intense. There was some crazy thunder and lightning yesterday.
Mm. Did they drag you off to any weird restaurants like Casa Bonita or anything like that?
We didn't make it to Casa Bonita. We tried to get to Idaho Springs, but the road was blocked off, so we just ended up driving around a bit. But we did pull off and just watch the angry water and kind of see some of the nature, and it's beautiful. But hopefully I'll make it to one of those restaurants. I'm actually going to stay a little longer and enjoy Colorado after the con.
Yeah, I'll definitely Casa Bonita. I mean, the food's not that great, but
that's what I hear. That's what I hear. I definitely watch South Park, so that's where I heard of Casa Bonita.
It's like, I don't think they'll let you jump off the waterfall. There's trained professionals for that. But yeah, it's and also stay out of Greeley. There's nothing there.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny.
Pretty much. So, if you weren't doing voice acting, what do you think you'd be doing? What would you have, if you didn't end up in voice acting, what would you like to be doing?
Well, I actually do other things on top of voice acting. I mentioned before that I train people in kickboxing and boxing and teach martial arts. But on top of that, I'm a web designer. So it's a perfect job for a voice actor, because you never know when you're going to work. You could audition a million times and never book anything, or you could be busy every single day. So as a web designer, I can go to work on, you know, short notice, and then come home and code and do whatever I need to do at the end of the day. And if there's nothing that day, then I can code all day. So it's a perfect job for a voice actor.
So what are your tips for good web design? Frames, moving objects, maybe if you've broken Imgur links, right?
I mean, clean code. I'm all about clean code, and I'm very into HTML5 and CSS3, the sleek code that comes up super, super clean.
Because some of that's a little tough to adapt for the mobile market. Have you run into anything that's a little bit challenging when adapting a website for that?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy how every single browser will show your site slightly differently. Mm. Spacing is different in different browsers.
Internet Explorer.
Oh, yeah, Internet Explorer. I curse Internet Explorer whenever I'm building a website.
And the worst part, it's the one that's the most prevalent. Why are you so prevalent?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's one of those things. But getting back to conventions and the martial arts and stuff, what would you feel that, when did you get into martial arts?
So I started when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. My mom put me in karate because I was small. Mm. She wanted me to learn how to protect myself, and I just fell in love with martial arts. That's been my thing forever. I mean, I never stopped training. I love passing on that knowledge.
Do you feel that it helps center you when you go into the booth to do voice acting?
Definitely.
Or some of the other work? If it just centers you?
Definitely. I have kind of a laid-back personality. And the martial arts has contributed a lot to that. Mm. It's really built me into who I am. and just taught me work ethic and tons of things that, you know, make you able to be successful.
Mm. So, like, I've asked you a bit about the convention and about how, like, what you think of this year. I've noticed that even despite all the horrifying disasters that have befallen on DeskCon this year, I guess it's the Sour 17, as they said at the, costume contest when they started. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that even though we've had a little bit of setbacks, there's that really great energy emanating from the con and from the con goers. I've noticed something though, when the con wraps up and everyone goes back to their jobs and their school and their whatever it is they do during the week that's not non-DeskCon or during that other 300 odd days that aren't on DeskCon, some of these people tend to take that energy and then just kind of bottle it up, just kind of restrict it a bit, and they don't apply it to that. Do you have any advice for any of our listeners who may be dealing with that introversion to take that convention energy and to spread it into their lives of more, to become more joyful, to take that positive energy and apply it to that?
Well, I really think that positivity is brings only good things. Mm. And a good outlook on life makes a big difference. So don't sweat the small stuff and, you know, bring that con feeling outside with you. Yeah, it's a great idea to do.
Because I've noticed, like, yeah, some people, they tend to, like, oh, well, it's over, now I've got nothing to get back to this. You know, there's a lot of weird drama with a lot of these people. And I guess that it's kind of like what you're saying, is to just kind of see if you can prolong that mood.
Yeah.
Any other suggestions on how to prolong that mood? Like,
you know, I'm not sure. There's a, you know, sort of a special feeling at these conventions, and you just got to make those memories and kind of take a mental picture of what you were doing and how you felt and just try to feel that joy outside the con too. It's good to be like that year round.
To just try and just like, well, never leave the convention.
Yeah.
Hmm. So I do have to ask a little bit about your odd choice of headwear today. For those who can't see, because this is an audio recording, he's wearing a bright pink and green and dark green and yellow sombrero.
It is a sombrero, yeah.
Is there any specific reason for that?
Well, Mr. Patrick Seitz has a hilarious picture of him wearing a massive sombrero. And we looked at his Wikipedia page, and it said that he was an avid collector of sombreros. So we thought it would be a great idea to bring sombreros to the Sword Art Online panel. So it became Sombrero Art Online, and it was great. It went over very well. You know, it's super random, super fun, and I think, you know, that's what cons are all about, just having a good time. Do you want to wear a sombrero? Wear a sombrero.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of the Lucador version of Sword Art Online. A little bit less violent.
Yeah.
And if you fiesta in the game, you fiesta in real life.
I like that. Fiesta in the game, fiesta in real life.
So, is there anything you're working on currently that you can talk about that you'd like to go ahead and promote?
Sure. There's a series that I recently started. It's called Tenkai Nights. It's on 7:30 a.m. Saturdays on Cartoon Network. And I would describe it as Legos meets Transformers. It's really, really a cool show. And the cast is incredible. It's worth checking out. Definitely worth checking out. My character, I really like. He's a sports guy. His name's Chuki. And he gets into this other world when he gets in his robot form. And his name is Leidendor. And he's bright yellow and has this big chain whip and like boomerang shield. It's pretty awesome. And I've seen the toys that they're making from this, and they're amazing. Hmm. So that's one I'm super excited about. Another project I can talk about, it's called Danganronpa.
Oh, it's,
yes.
That's the one with the little The little bear.
The bear.
Half black, half white, red, eats people.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I recently worked on the video game, and I was cast as Negi, who is the lead character. And it was an amazing experience and super cool that they let me talk about this. Because normally, you know, with NDAs, you can't say anything. But they're like, no, Twitter, talk about it, you know, promote it. Go ahead. Yeah. So yeah, really awesome project. Had such a good time doing it. There were these blocks of like 80 lines that I had just going all the way through and essentially solving a murder.
Mm. That's perpetrated by these man-eating and people-eating bears.
Well, you don't know who's killed the other person. I believe what happens is these kids get stuck in this place and this bear tells them they have to murder another one of the kids and get away with it to escape this school that
so
they're stuck in.
Kind of like a cross between Corpse Party and Battle Royale in a way.
There we go.
Sort of, yeah.
There
that's
we go.
One way to put it. With a little bit of Teddy from Persona 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except not as cute and cuddly or round or empty.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, like, it sounds like you've done work on the West Coast in California, and you've done some work for Funimation, right?
I have never worked at Funimation.
Not yet?
No, not yet. Hopefully yet is a key word, because I would love to work for them. I mean, I'm still new to conventions in general, but being at cons, I've met a lot of the folks from Texas, and they're great people. So I hope they allow me to audition for something. And if something matches, then maybe I can go out there and do some work.
So you haven't worked in Texas yet?
Never.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because sometimes we have people who've worked in both Texas and California, whereas California is mostly union, Texas is a right-to-work state.
Yeah.
So sometimes there's a little bit of differences between the two. And since you haven't experienced it yet, hopefully soon, I guess there's just a fair warning. I've heard it's a little bit different between those two. Are you part of the union?
Yes.
Have you found that it helps you get some of the jobs in California a little bit easier?
I don't think it's easier once you're in the union. It's maybe even more competitive because there's jobs that more people want. So it's definitely not easier to book those type of jobs. I mean, yeah, union jobs are not easy to get. But I hope that, I get to, you know, do more of everything. I just like to work.
You're brand new to it. You haven't been pulled down to the weary level of cons, and most of these people have been here forever, right? So
yeah.
You haven't gotten there yet.
It's exciting. I don't know if I'll ever get to that point where it's just like dreary. I don't want to like
become dreary.
Yeah, I don't want to rush out and do too many at once. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I'm spreading them out and going and enjoying every experience when it comes.
And speaking about enjoying those experiences or anything, have there been any jobs that you've turned down?
I don't know if I've turned down a job. I mean, I'm so excited to be cast in something because whenever you audition, you're competing against every other voice actor out there, and there's so many talented voice actors. So it's really difficult to get these jobs in the first place. So at this point in my career, I'm not in a point where I can pick and choose and turn things down. I just get a call and I go to work.
And that's always a wonderful thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, the voice acting voice acting and acting is and really quite amazing. The web design is pretty great too. What do you like most about teaching, like the martial arts that you teach? You teach, right?
Yes, yes.
What do you like the most about that?
Seeing a positive change in someone. I've worked with kids and watched them grow up and watched them come out of their shell and seeing martial arts not only affect their health, but affect their mind and affect how they do in school. It's just amazing to see that positive growth. Recently, I've been working with someone who has been very dedicated to losing weight. When I started with him, he was about 360 pounds. And now it's been almost, it's been just over a year actually, and he's broken 250 pounds. So he's a new person, which is amazing to see that growth. It's almost time for before and after shots.
Almost.
Yeah, almost. We're going to go a little bit more and then put on a little bit of muscle.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Although muscle is a little bit heavier than that. So it's more like just the physical aspect of it is a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm slowly running out of stuff. I know, right? It's been kind of a tiring week.
Oh yeah.
Yes, definitely.
The conventions for me are just like one long party. You know, every panel, every autograph session, I just go and have a good time.
And since every party does have its ups and downs, what would you say has been the best part of your week so far? This weekend so far.
Oh, best part of the weekend so far?
Yeah, so best part of this convention so far.
Man, one highlight was definitely the Sword Art Online panel. you know, just spending time with some of the other actors and meeting people that I had never met before. And I got to hang out with Dave Vincent, who we've worked on projects before, but we've never really hung out, because normally you go in, you work, you go home, and you only see people in passing. So we have characters that talk to each other, and we've never really talked. So it was nice to be able to hang out with him and you know, get to know him a lot better.
And what would you say would be like, not to pick on the convention a little bit, but what was the least thing so far, because there's the highs and the lows. What would you say was like, oh goodness, that was a little bit
well, I mean, not anything that they could control.
Absolutely. Just mostly the weather, right?
Yeah, the weather, you know, isn't the best. But the sun poked out at certain points and it's beautiful out. You know, crazy fire alarm, not expected, but it wasn't bad either. It's just an experience. I really haven't had too many negative experiences at these conventions. It's been all good.
Excellent. So one more thing, I guess. Actually, one more thing about this. If you've been to a few of these conventions now, and you've interacted with a bit with the fans, how do you feel fans should approach you if they see you wandering around the convention floor or so? How do you feel that they should approach you?
Hey Bryce, what's happening? Like, just normal. Yeah. I mean, I like to go out and walk the floor and talk to people and hang out. And if someone recognizes me, like, that's a huge compliment. Because I'm a voice actor. You don't see me. You might recognize my voice, but you don't see me. So to be recognized like that is awesome. So whenever I'm out on the floor and people see me and come say hi, I hang out and talk to them for a while if I can. You know, sometimes I'm being whisked away to something, or an autograph session, or going to another interview or something like that, and I don't have time to hang out. But whenever I have time, I'm always out there and just hanging out with the people at the convention.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, over here with NondeskCon 2013 with
Bryce Papenbrook.
And thank you so very, very much for the interview.
Thank you.
And any final message for our audience?
Keep watching anime, keep loving anime, keep playing video games, and have fun at cons.
And good night. Welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. I'm over here at NondeskCon 2013 with...
Leah Clark!
So, Leah, just in case our listeners are not familiar with you, who are you and what do you do?
I am a voice actress from Funimation primarily. I also am a script adapter, and I've also worked for DoArt Films in New York. Based out of Dallas, though.
Based out of Dallas. So, why did you get into voice acting?
Why not? Like, I was an actress, and it sounded really cool. I was doing a lot of children's theater at the time, a lot of theater in general. I figured out I had a talent for changing my voice up, and I had a friend that was doing it and wanted to get in on the action, so I went and auditioned, and here I am. And it was a blast.
So you have a theater background. Starting out in children's theater, like really young, or did you get into it later?
I got into children's theater later. I mean, children's theater is just more of shows for children, not necessarily like me being nine and, you know. I didn't really get too into it until I was actually in high school. I was a, you know, show choir girl for the longest time, like Glee, you know. That was me. But I just decided to test out acting when I was a freshman, just to see if I liked it, and I fell in love, and I've been there ever since.
What was the first role that you had in that? Like, what was the first one you, first play you were in?
The very first, I mean, player I used to musical. Do a lot of little skits. I was in Annie that I made up myself, you know, just like put together with my friends when I was, you know, six or seven. But my first real play was in Crimes of the Heart, and I played Meg McGrath in high school. And it was, I was bit. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I cried when the show was over. I just wouldn't stay there. That's the hardest thing is those shows close, they end. So.
Yeah, theater's like that. Yeah. I've done theater myself where, yeah, well, it's the play's the thing, but when it ends, you know, there's that little bit of, now what type thing.
Yeah, it's like a loss. Like, you get so close, and it becomes your family, and you're close to that character, and that story, and the people that you're working with, and now it's just gone. Okay.
Well, you do script adaptation. Did you go to college specifically for that, or did you? It's, what's your educational background?
I didn't go for that. I actually started to because I've always been told I had a talent for writing ever since. I mean, I could write. It was always something that was noticed, and it just came very natural. And in college, I decided I wanted to try journalism, and I really enjoyed it. I loved it, and I got. I actually had a lot of really cool opportunities there, but what happened was they put me on the entertainment staff, so that meant I had to go to other people's rehearsals and interview them and go to the shows at night, and I couldn't act myself, so I had to make a choice. It's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to act or do you want to do journalism? You have to pick one or the other. So at the time I just picked acting, and I figured I can always go back to journalism, but I'm going to try acting for now.
What was the first, you said that they would assign you to that. What was that first outlet that you worked with?
For journalism?
Yeah.
Like, my very first interview that they gave me was Kenneth Branagh. Yeah, so, and it was a roundtable interview, so there was a bunch of other reporters there, and I was just like, this little, I'm too busy being 18. What's up, Kenneth? He was promoting... one of those Shakespeare ones, Love's Labor's Lost. And I got to go in, and it was in his hotel room, and there was just a bunch of, you know, reporters there, and I got to ask them some questions and, you know, then write a story on it and then go see the movie. It was fun. Wow. So I did a lot of that. Those are my favorites because I got, like, screenings and got to see movies, like, weeks, sometimes months in advance before they came out, and they always gave me a second pass, I could take some friends, and I was like instantly popular as the girl who gets to see all the cool movies. So, but that was like literally my first assignment is go interview Kenneth Branagh. So
it's like, we need you to go to Kenneth Branagh's hotel room, okay? Can you do this? And you're like,
yes, totally.
So, coming back to, well, we're at NondeskCon 2013. What do you think of the convention so far this year, aside from having to swim here?
I actually missed the flood.
Oh.
So I flew in yesterday. I was scheduled to fly in on Thursday. I just love NDK so much. Like, the staff here is, like, something unreal. Like, they just don't even exist. They're so nice and organized and together, and they just seem to really care about taking care of us. And the fans are so nice and so cool. Like, I do the hot seat panel here, and they are so creative with their questions, and they have fun, and it's a good time. Like, I always enjoy coming here.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you deal with the time away from home to go to all these conventions and to any jobs that might not be around Funimation's headquarters? How do you deal with that?
I limit it now. Because there was, when I first started doing a lot of conventions, I did every single one of them that I possibly could do. But now I limit it to 1 month. And, you know, obviously September is my NDK. They always have priority. So, because, yeah, like you said, it's hard to be gone most of the week, and then you have like 3 days to get everything done, and then you leave again. So I'm not doing that anymore. Now I just kind of, 1 month is good. Sometimes I'll do two if somehow like my schedule at home is a little slower.
But. It's one of those things where you just want to have some time at least for your family, make sure the pets remember you, right?
Well, mostly it's just, I mean, the other work they have, like voice work and writing, and it's hard to get home, and, you know, like I said, like, Funimation only has 3 days before I leave again, and it's hard to get cast, because they're like, well, she's gone all the time, we can't use her, so you have to be a little bit more available. And for plays, like, I do a lot of theater, you can't be doing a show and leave every weekend. I mean, a lot of rehearsals are on the weekends, so I just limit it to 1 month.
What show are you currently in? The plays, you said you still do theater.
I do. I actually am not in one right now because I was supposed to hopefully be in Clue, the musical. But one of my really good friends lives in England. She's getting married, and she wants me to sing at her wedding during the run of the show. So I'm doing that instead. So that's my next appearance. It's singing in England. Hello.
Well, I'd imagine that friends and family are much more important for that. Yeah.
Faux show.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you, let's see. Where do you, oh darn, I had a question. It just went.
Whoop. Oh, they do that. They leave. And they
I
come
know,
back,
right? That's the thing with journalism sometimes. It's a little difficult to remember what type of question you want there, so sometimes you have to just shoot off the cuff there. Since you've done a little bit of journalism yourself, you've done one-on-one interviews and the roundtable interviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which do you find to be more fun or interesting to work with? Like, roundtable interviews where you're trying to go one direction and the other person's like, well, I want to know what color they like.
Yeah. I like the interview. Like, one-on-one.
The one-on-ones.
Because, you know, you want your story.
Absolutely.
You don't want someone else's story. Like, shut up.
Yeah. So, going back to a bit of, like, you do theater, you do a lot of voice acting and stuff. Do you do any charity work?
I do. Funimation is, like, really, really big on that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, we always have, in the studio, there's a huge room full of stuff, like swag and posters and things, and there's like Sharpies out there, and if you want to contribute to it, then you just like go and sign and stuff like that. So every time I'm in there, I try to go check out and see what's there and sign away. And they do like several different types of charities, and they'll list them on the wall. I don't look at all of them, but there's usually about a good 10-15 at least that these are all going for, so.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Any particular charities that you're partial toward?
Particular?
Yeah.
I mean, I really like charities that deal with, like, anti-bullying. I think that's really, it's a big deal. I mean, I think anyone that's an actor has been through that, so we kind of get it and how important it is to, you know, make sure that doesn't happen. I also really love the animals. So, I contribute a lot to, what's it called, Paws of Texas, and it's a little organization that helps dogs that are, like, left out on leashes, you know, and helps them find homes and stuff like that.
Kind of like the Dumb Friends League here in Denver, Colorado.
What's that?
Oh, the Dumb Friends League is a group that they take care of animals and such. It's a shelter essentially, but they find homes and things for these animals, medical stuff. It's a pretty good charity over here, and them and the Wild Bird Colorado have been pretty useful. They rescue animals and stuff. It's pretty good.
I love animal rescues so much.
Own any animals?
Yes, I have a little dog. Her name is Adelaide Winehouse Jones. She is. I love her.
Yeah, a huge people name.
I know. Well, actually, it's her. I'll tell you the story of her name in just a second. But she is a Chihuahua Jack Russell Terrier mix, and she's adorable. But when we brought her home, me and my roommate didn't know what we were going to call her. So for about a week or so, she didn't have a name. She was just sort of a little dog that was running around. And have you ever seen American Horror Story?
Some episodes of it.
Okay. Well, our neighbor kept, like, playing with the dog and kept calling her Pretty Girl. Oh, you're such a pretty girl. You're such a pretty girl. And, there's an episode in American Horror Story Season 1 where, there's a character named Adelaide, and she keeps saying, like, all I want to be is a pretty girl. All I want to be is a pretty girl. And that's where Adelaide came in, because we were... Ernie was calling her Pretty Girl, so like, keep calling her Pretty Girl, we're gonna have to name her Adelaide. Oh, that's her name. So, that's my baby.
Part of her name. The yeah. Winehouse part sounds kind of odd.
My roommate came up with that part of it. I don't know where Winehouse came from. I think a take on Amy Winehouse, but it's like spelled like wine, like I'm a dog.
Oh.
And then Jones is the last name of his last dog, so...
Mm. Yeah. So it was just kind of heritage names.
Yeah.
But going back to... you were talking about the charities that have to do with bullying. One of the charities that Non-Descon is supporting this year is Stomp Out Bullying.
That's awesome.
Is there any advice that you could give to people who've been victims of bullying? Like, how to handle it? Just to get to not, you know, internalize it as angry, but to get over it or to deal with it?
I mean, ask for help. Like, if you're in school, tell your teachers. Or, you know, don't... And I think a lot of people are embarrassed, and they don't want to feel wussy or, you know, be made fun of for asking for help. But, I mean, get somebody to talk to and know that you're okay. That has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the person that's bullying you. And it's hard to know that when you're in it. So getting that reassurance from someone else is really, really helpful, I think. I think it'll make that person feel like, I don't deserve this, and I'm not the one that's... There's nothing wrong with me. This person is the one that has the problem. And that's a lot of it. That's what it is. It's not you. Like, you've not done anything to deserve this. The person that's bullying you is afraid. They're scared. They're coming from a place that isn't fair, and they're taking out their issue on someone they perceive as weaker. But you gotta be stronger. You gotta be the stronger one. And, you know, get that reassurance, get that help, get, you know, everyone says be strong and do it on your own, and yes, that's great, and if you can, awesome, but it's okay if you can't, you know? We're pack animals. People need people.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking about people needing people, or rather, the convention energy, what have you noticed so far about this convention that you really enjoy? Why do you make Non-Descon your priority in September?
I mean, the staff here, like, in the fans, I mean, just the whole vibe and the attitude of it, it's such a positive feeling, and it's such a family atmosphere, and, you know, I feel like I'm working with friends. I'm not necessarily, you know, it's different than just going to a convention and doing it because it's work. It's like, you know, these are my buds. I want to hook them up, you know? I want to spend time with them and see them and, you know, be part of this awesome event and contribute to making IndieK what it is, you know? It's great. It's really, it's different than a lot of them.
So it's got a good energy to it. Now, a lot of these conventions have a lot of energy to them. I've noticed one thing in conventions. You see people just come out of their shell at conventions. Just this great energy. They're all over the place. They're talking. They're really, really social. But the problem is, on Mondays, the day after that convention, a lot of these people tend to kind of clam up to go back into that little bit of a shell, to slowly shy away. What advice would you give to help them take that con energy, that wonderful convention energy, and bring that to their normal life, to their normal everyday existence, to be who they are here, out there?
I think knowing that what makes them confident is, or what makes everybody around them like them, you know, and accept them, is that they're just being themselves, you know. And yes, they happen to be with like-minded individuals, but there's just something refreshing and great about anybody who can just own who they are and just put it out there and just be like, this is me, you know. I like this kind of stuff, and I'm this sort of way, and I'm awesome because of it, you know. Just have that, just take that energy with you. Don't leave it at NDK, don't leave it at a convention. Just take what you've learned. It's a gift. It's like, you know, it's something that you should carry with you, and don't leave it here. Bring it out to the world. Share it. Like, if you think of it as, you know, you're giving other people a gift. Like, your confidence and your presence and your individual beauty and who you are is special. And, you know, think of it as you're giving it to somebody. Don't think of it as you're waiting for acceptance. Turn yourself into a giver, and I think that'll work.
So, how do you think your life would be different if you'd have pursued journalism instead of acting? Or where do you think you'd be now if you'd made that one little It's a Wonderful Lifestyle take?
I think I would probably be more secure, because I think stable, like financially stable, because that was something that was very easy for me, and I feel like I was kind of advancing there. But for whatever reason, my soul would always want to know what happened with acting, whereas I don't necessarily wonder about journalism, because I feel like it's always kind of within reach. Like, I feel like that's where I'm going to end up. I think that's like my end game. Is eventually I'm going to be, you know,
Barbara Walters or Oprah.
I'll probably be Barbara Walters. Like, I have
Katie Couric.
Exactly. Yeah. Some background in acting. Like, I know how actors feel. I know what they want to do. And, you know, I know theater. So I can be a really good critic, or, you know. I think that would be my end game. I would love to retire to journalism.
So, before we go, any shout outs or anything you'd like to promote while we're here?
I do a podcast with my good friend Jade Saxton, who's also a voice actor at the Foundation, and our friend Shantae Collins, who's here with me this time doing, she's a sex therapist, and we do a podcast called The Red Wine Therapist, and we pick guests who have an interesting story to tell, and then we base the entire show off of that story and talk about it, and, you know, Shantae will counsel, Jade and I are there just to make jokes and be silly, and the guest is there to tell, like, an awesome story, hopefully that's relatable. You can listen to that on, theredwinetherapist.podomatic.com.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much for the interview. This has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, with
Leah Clark.
And we're over here, stuck over here, at NondesCon 2013.
Woo-hoo!
And good night.
Okay, fine. We actually decided, instead of doing just one interview, why not throw in a second one? Actually, I think we'll go for a third one in here, too, because we have one that we did with a couple of these that we did jointly. And, well, we're not at the hour mark, and I want to break past the hour mark in every Radio DMG episode. Every Radio DMG episode. So, you've been warned.
What's up, everybody? This is Justin Duarte from Geek Street Society with my boy Chain Clouds in the building.
And Philip Wesley from Radio DMG and Area DMG and DMGS.com. And we're all here together at NondeskCon 2013 with...
Jeremy Lee.
So...
Well, Jeremy Lee, what drove you to get into the anime scene, really?
I actually just fell into it. I started acting when I was 5, doing on-camera work and commercials, and then started doing voiceover when I was 7. Did some animated projects and radio shows and worked for Radio Disney. And then when I turned 18 and graduated from high school, an opportunity came up to audition for Funimation. And I knew of anime as Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and Sailor Moon. And I liked those, and I played the games. But I didn't know of the vast world and all of the genres that were part of the genre as well. So... once I got an introduction, I auditioned for Peach Girl. I got cast and went to Anime Boston, which was my first convention. So I got like a crash course in anime and then kept auditioning and working, which is, it's been great.
Well, Jeremy?
Yes.
Just a real quick question. Since we've interviewed you before,
yes.
What are you currently up to?
Right now I'm recording Fairy Tail. We just premiered the movie Phoenix Princess here at Nondesicon last night, which was awesome. And we had a Q&A. Todd Habercorn, who plays Natsu, and Tia Ballard, who plays Happy, is here. And Taliesin Jaffe, who's the villain in the movie, was also on the panel, which is great. Sword Art Online, I have finished recording. But it's airing on Toonami, so I'm working on that. And then just auditioning and working on some other projects that, of course, I'm on NDA about, so can't share. But those are the two big projects that I'm really promoting and currently working on that I can talk about. So.
Okay. If there was a character, if there was an anime character that you identify with the most, which anime character would that be?
So hard. Well, when I'm playing them, it's interesting that while I'm working on the shows, and I don't know what cosmic universe greater plan this is, but some of the lines that I'm saying and the things that I'm working through will be issues that I'm dealing with in my life, so it's very therapeutic to get to say it, and it's oftentimes the characters I'm working on at points in my life are exactly the characters that I need to be hearing from and learning from. I guess right now, since I've been working with Lucy a lot, and they were asking me, what's different about you and Lucy? I'm like, very little is different about us, other than I'm not really magical. I would like to be, so I'll just have to work on that. But yeah, I mean, I relate to all of them. There's a little bit of me in all of them, even the villain characters, because the way I approach a villain is that they have their set... belief system, and they're full force going to go for it and see it through to the end, and oftentimes they figure out that that might not be the ultimate way of the world, and that's a crushing blow to anyone. So yeah, there's a little bit of me in all of them. I can't pick just one and say that that's it, that's the one that I'm so much like. And I'm goofy like some of the other characters. There's the characters that are really all about integrity and have their moral compass, and they're not going to stray from that. It's just different characters focus on different things, and I'll channel that to be the driving force of how I play that character. So,
speaking of Fairy Tail, how is this experience going on? Because I've really been a big fan of it since it came out.
It's been fantastic. I mean, from the beginning of auditioning for the show and just hearing everybody talk about what a fun show it was going to be, and it's a magic show, it's a fun show, it's a family show, it's all these things rolled into one. And I, when we went and premiered it in New York, it was a fantastic experience to get to be there with Colleen and Newton and Todd and the director, and getting to meet the creator of the series, who was flown out from Japan for the premiere, and getting to see it with him, and then getting to see the fan response just grow and grow, and getting to do more and more episodes. I think I've lived with Lucy longer than I've lived with any other animated character, which is a fantastic thing to get to work with. And the show is one of my favorites. I think if I wasn't in it, it would still be a favorite show of mine. So it's fantastic to see how it goes. And when we got to work on the movie, I'm really proud of the movie, and I'm really, really proud and impressed of everybody's performances in the movie. And I hope we get to do more and more episodes, and I hope they make more in Japan, and we just keep going, because it's, like we were talking last night, these characters are like family to us, and the cast that we've worked with is like family. Even though we don't see them often, we hear them all the time, and if I didn't hear Tia as Happy, or Todd as Natsu, or Colleen as Urza, I would probably feel like something was very wrong in my life. So, I'm very proud to be a part of the show. I love it very, very much.
So the show has a bit of a family atmosphere.
Yeah.
Speaking of, like, one thing about families is families tend to be compassionate toward each other.
Absolutely.
Is there anything charitable that you're working with currently?
There are a couple. I have been involved with an organization, and it's a chronic healing organization where they get together once a month and they make organic meals for the homeless. So I do that once a month, and I'm really, really big on not bullying, because I was bullied in high school, and so that's a big thing, especially girls attacking girls because of jealousy or whatever. So actually, oddly enough, the hat that I'm wearing, it's a kind campaign, and the whole phrase is all about being kind, and it's promoting cyber kindness, and there's a place where girls can go and write anonymous, or they can name someone else and just say, like, so-and-so did this really nice thing for me at school today, and I can never talk to her, but I just want to point it here. And so it's getting all the energy out, and I feel like thoughts are energy, so any sort of positive thought you can have, that's where I always want to place the emphasis of mine. So being at this convention and knowing that this is a Stop Bullying charity,
the Stomp Out Bullying is one of the ones from this one in particular,
which I'm super excited about supporting.
Kind of like what you're talking about, like with the girl on girl bullying, kind of like the whole Lindsay Lohan Mean Girls type thing, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I saw the Be Kind hat and I was like, I'm wondering if that has to do with like actual kindness, or we're in, you know, Colorado.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, I feel like if everybody. I feel like in society right now, there's so much of an emphasis when something negative happens, everybody wants to attack the attacker, where I feel like the emphasis should be put on helping those who were attacked. Mm-hmm. And so when we send so much negative energy towards an already negative situation, all we're doing is growing the negative monster. Whereas if we decided this is an opportunity to change our thought process and make it all about something positive and helping these people and changing the emphasis of where we think and where we attack and where we spend our energy, I think that might make a huge difference. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm really interested in doing, and I'm always looking for more causes to support. I like to spend a lot of time with kids, so I'm trying to figure out if there's a way that I can channel that into an organization and supporting young actors and body image for girls. That's another big one for me, especially growing up in this industry and knowing that weight and body image and being perfect, and there's such a pressure on females in particular, and men as well. I mean, you know, men are supposed to be like strong and tough and whatever, and being sensitive is frowned upon, but actually I feel like men should be sensitive. That's sensitive and compassionate, and if they're being told not to do that, then they're shutting out a part of themselves and they're not being fully true to who they are. So I feel like in different ways, everybody should just start to open their minds and start seeing people for people. And I have a shirt that says, people are people, be human. So that kind of stuff is all about being kind, being open, being receptive, and just allowing people to be human and looking out for the positive aspects of things. So
just being kind.
Being kind, yeah. Golden rule.
Yeah. Jump straight to me. Okay. Where do you honestly see yourself with your career in the next 5 years?
I have no idea. Because, you know, it's, I think, 7 years ago, I was not even working in anime. And if somebody had said, well, this is where you're going to be, and you're going to have shows that you're in that are on Cartoon Network, I would not, you're going to move to LA and you're going to be working in things like that, I would have said, okay, sure, whatever, but I would have not known that would have been the case, or that I would have been a DJ on Radio Disney and had my own show and been in over 100 anime shows and been a film. I was a lead in a film that's coming out October 18th. So all these things keep coming up, and then there are a couple other films that I worked on that are going to festivals in New York and Toronto and things like that. So I honestly, I don't know. I'm getting married next year, so everything's changing. I've just started. working in LA and still being in Texas. My family's there, so I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, I would love to always keep working. I'd love to be producing and writing my own stuff. I am writing films and screenplays and things like that. So I would love to start producing that stuff. I would love to do some work on series, and I would love to do some prelay cartoons and more video games and motion capture, and the sky's the limit. I'm just open to whatever falls in my lap. So, I don't know. It's a good question.
Hey, real quick. Do you have the ring on you currently?
I don't.
Oh, no.
I don't think I do.
I was going to ask you, because he has a camera right there.
Oh! So,
I know, but...
I don't. It's getting sized.
Oh, it's getting sized?
Yeah.
Make sure you get sized during the summer when you get that size.
Because in
the winter, your fingers shrink a little bit.
Okay.
So it'd be really loose in the winter if you... and really tight in the summer. If you measure it in the winter, it'll be tight in the summer. Measure it in the summer, it'll probably be a little loose during the winter, but that's fine.
Good to know. Okay.
Yeah. I want to ask a little bit about that. How did he finally pop the question?
It was around Christmas, and we were going back for the family, and so I love Christmas, so it was just a huge thing. He's an actor and a writer as well, so there were a lot of our friends and family there, and one of the first plays that we did, he did a line from that and then retooled the line, so it was more personal to us. And he had a friend of ours that was in the show that flew out and played the music that he had written for the show. So, yeah, it was very cool.
What was the play?
Okay. It's a play that he wrote, and it's called Dream. So it was the first show that he'd ever written, and we were in college together and doing a directing class, and so he had me audition for the show, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, going on, it'll be 4 years that we've been together in December, so 4 years later. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Very cool. Thank you.
Now, are there any characters that you would envision yourself wanting to play?
Well, someone asked me if I would ever want to be a pony in My Little Pony. Absolutely. That would be cool. I mean, I don't think there's ever, like, characters necessarily that I envision myself playing as far as cartoons go, because the scope is so large for cartoon. I mean, I could play a rock, I could play a talking, you know, crazy, weird animal, I don't know. So the scope is so grandiose for that, and I can't even, like, cut it down. Films that I would like to work on, I would love to do, like, a Da Vinci Code National Treasure style film over in Italy, finding out deeper meanings of paintings and uncovering history and all of those kinds of things. I think that would be fantastic. So that's a film I've always wanted to do. I also love Disney movies and Disney rides. So I love when the TV shows or the stories are all based off of Disney things. So that would be fun. Again, if work comes my way, I oftentimes don't judge it. If it's meant to be and it's meant to be something I work on, it's going to work out, and I'm super excited. One of my favorite book series is called The Giver, and it's the Lois Lowry book series. I'm reading another book about Harry Houdini's illegitimate daughter. Whether or not she is actually his daughter is not determined, but she's psychic and all of those fun, crazy supernatural things. So I read all the time. So I'm always reading books going, this should be a movie, and I really want to do this. So that would be cool.
Well, I'm just trying to take everything in. So
Looks like we've got time for about one last question. Really quickly, I don't think this is your first time at Non-Descon, right?
It is.
So, what do you think of Non-Descon? What can we do to bring you back next year, and what do you think we can improve on a little bit?
I have had the most magnificent time at this convention. Mm-hmm. I've heard fantastic things about it for years, so I've always been wanting to come. I've always wanted to come to Denver. I'm actually in the process of hopefully planning a trip to come out here and vacation soon. So the only thing that would have to happen for me to want to come back is to be invited back, and I would be here instantaneously. I just love the convention. The staff is tremendous. They're always like 2-3 steps ahead, and that's amazing. So we're all blown away, especially with the horrible weather situation and all the flooding that's going on. I don't know how they've been able to keep everything together, and we were trying to get around, and they were circulating and taking us the scenic route to still see a little bit of Colorado, but not get washed away with the water. Yeah. So it's amazing. So I love it. I love this convention.
The water is just really warm snow. We're dealing with snow.
They're just angry waters.
Angry waters. Well, it's been great talking to you again.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
This has been Philip Wesley with Radio DMG, and
this is Justin
with
GeekStreetSociety.com.
Chain Clouds with GeekStreetSociety.com.
And we've been interviewing
Jeremy Lee
over here at NondeskCon 2013.
Yay.
Well, see y'all later.
Bye.
And that's it for this episode of Radio DMG. We've had 3 interviews. We had Bryce Pavenbrook, Leah Clark, and Jeremy Lee. The Jeremy Lee one was a joint thing with, I think, Geek Street Society. I would pitch their website, but I couldn't find it. Again, when I was looking for the notes. So, sorry about that. Well, anyways, there you go. Hope you enjoy this 3-some of interviews, and enjoy our 2-some of musical rations. Yeah, we delivered a little bit late because it's, well, no, actually, looking at the time, it's still Wednesday on the California time. So there, ha, I win. Good night.
Okay, I'm just gonna say a couple things or so. Say something.
Hey, what's up? I'm saying some stuff.
Stuff. Okay, let's see how that came out. Okay, my name's Philip Wesley. I'm just testing this thing. Your name?
Justin Duarte.
Jeremy Lee.
And
Chan Clouds.
Excellent. Let's.